The State of Read podcast is about the state of relationships, relationships in all aspects of your life. So check it out. We break it down for you. What's good? What's good? What's good? Coming to you live on iTunes Radio. You're rocking with Professor Dean on the State of Read podcast. Happy to be back. Episode 8, baby. We got a lot to get into, but this time around, I'm on that solo dolo tip. With that being said, I do need fan participation, so please send me your topics and issues, questions. Hit us up on Instagram. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on Facebook. Let me know what you guys are thinking about the topics we're going to cover today. We're going to hit on some heavy issues, but send me your feedback. And next week, we could touch base on those things, and we'll actually give shout-outs. So hit me up. You can find me on Twitter at State of Re, capital R-E, State of Re, capital R-E, underscore pod. Or you can find me at State of Re, underscore podcast at Instagram. Or you can find us on Facebook, state.ofre. So www.facebook.com/state.ofre. So hit us up on Facebook too. You can also find these links directly under the podcast description in iTunes as well as SoundCloud. So check that out. All right. So without further ado, Professor Dean, one time for your mind, one time. We're going to get started. So let's get it. Episode 8, y'all. Jumping right into it, episode 8, it's a new segment we're going to call Recap and Reflect. We're 3 months into this 2018, so just like the business world, the academic world, we're going to do a quarterly check-in on lessons of reflection and recapping on things. So it's been up and down 3 months already for me, but today we just want to, first of all, just recap some things and touch on the lessons or things that have came to light so far. So I just want to share what I've been reflecting on and recap, you know, rethinking and recapping on. It would be awareness, self-awareness, and just processing that. So based on the Harvard Law Review, an article, it actually discusses success of decision making at work, success at in the home environment as well. People are more successful in a team environment if they're more self-aware. Statistically proven. Over 350,000 people were tested and reviewed for the assessment. The article is actually called "We're Really Not Self-Aware, Especially at Work." This article is actually under the Harvard Business Review, so check that out. You know, I believe in being humble, but I also believe you have to be aware and aware of your own actions as well as others. One's action or lack thereof speaks a lot about who that person is or who you are. Patterns of actions speak even louder, right? They speak for themselves. And so it goes hand in hand with being in tune and not out of touch. And for me personally, I feel like ignorance is not an excuse for yourself or for others. People really do care about you. They would be aware of how their actions are affecting you. Vice versa, if you really do care about people, you have to be aware and work really hard to be aware if your actions are hurting those that you care about. So for me, self-awareness has been a lesson, you know, as far as 2018, a recap and something that I've reflected on the last couple months. With that being said, jumping right into the reflection piece even deeper, you got to live your best life 3 months in and been dealing with a lot of ups and downs. Our family lost a friend. I'm not getting into the details, but he passed away. He was somebody I grew up with as a teenager. And so his life, his legacy, and how he lived his life was about always loving others. Our success represents our neighborhood, our community, our families, and those who never get to make it. And those are the things he taught me and how he lived his life and how he cared for others. So with that being said, those are my recap and reflections over the last 3 months. I know we got really deep on this, but had to do it for John. Rest easy, my friend. You will be missed. Praying for you and your family. And again, let the lesson be clear. Love your loved ones, y'all. That's the lesson too. And live your best life. On that note, let's celebrate life. And the show goes on. Changing it up a little bit, you know it's about that time when we're about to jump into y'all favorite segment. I think everybody loves this segment. What do we call this shit? This shit is redonkulous right here. This shit right here, as Coach For Real would say, is redonkulous. We're going to jump right into it. There's a lot going on in our country right now, and we got to touch on some things, man. So one of the most ridiculous things we've heard recently is that our president is encouraging professors, teachers, school administrators to have guns and have the right to carry in the high school level, grade school level, whatever it may be, to protect themselves from all these mass shootings around the country that are happening. And recently, we found a teacher who actually went with this concept in the state of California, a Seaside High School in Seaside, California, towards Monterey, California, in that part of the country. A teacher by the name of Dennis Alexander was teaching, ironically, about a course on gun safety. Inside a building, the gun accidentally went off. It was shot into the air, hit the ceiling, and the bullet ricocheted back into a student's neck area. The student obviously was hurt, but it wasn't fatal. EMTs were called to the scene. Obviously, this is right after, a few weeks after the shootings in Parkland, which we will touch on later on the State of Reed main course of conversation topic about Americans and their guns and the gun laws. So yeah, we're going to get heavy on this, but this shit right here was redonkulous for a high school teacher to not check his gun based on gun safety rules, based on his course. This shit was redonkulous, man. How did you not check your gun before you came to class to teach the course? You actually role modeled to students what not to do and what can really happen. You role modeled to the United States of America what can happen if you have administrators, teachers, professors carrying guns at high school and grade school levels for no apparent reasons. If people are not taught the proper way of how to deal with a gun, I mean, that's the kind of the madness that can occur. So this shit is redonkulous. I mean, come on, man. Seriously, though. Whether you disagree or agree with me on that, go ahead and hit us up on the Shit Is Redonkulous topic on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You know what it is. And let us know what you think about that. Since I don't have nobody to go back and forth on different takes on this, hit me up. Let me know what you think, and we can touch on it next week as well. But I think that shit is redonkulous. On some straight clown shit. But we gonna be all right. We believe that. We gonna keep it moving as well. Getting right into it this week, good reads and reviews. We got a few for you I wanted to share. The book I wanted to share was called Ready Player One. It's actually a movie that's being released and directed by Steven Spielberg. So check that out. The book is written by Ernest Cline. I wanted to see what the hype was all about. I was recommended this book. So thank you to one of our supporters out there. His name was Obi, so we appreciate the recommendation. I checked it out, enjoyed the book. It's a futuristic, sci-fi, utopian-style book, and it evolves and is based around the concept of video games, the internet, and the future. I think everybody should actually really just, you know, if you don't get a chance to read the book, which is probably going to be better than the movie. They usually always are. But check out the movie where the kid gets to, you know, discover the world through the Oasis. They call it the Oasis, where it's a future. It's a game, but also people can go to school through the Oasis. They get to go to high school or college. They can avoid and mute bullies. They get to learn while the teachers are teaching from their own home. The students are learning from their own home. And it's a crazy concept. Obviously, the world in the book is, the world at that point is in disarray, pollution, war, you know, lack of resources, poverty, you know, is at an all-time high, while there's a few that run the world, corporations, individuals who own all the wealth. So in certain ways, I think we can all watch the film or read the book and appreciate the writer's ability to foreshadow or foretell things that he may feel that our world is headed in. So it's a really interesting book. It is fiction. It is sci-fi. So take it for what it is and check it out. That's my good reads this week. And then jumping right into good reviews as far as film, Murder on the Orient Express, phenomenal acting film, great job. Really enjoy that. With that being said, I just want to share a quick documentary. It's called Tell Them We Are Rising by Stanley Nelson Jr. It's a documentary that was released on PBS. It's not the most fast-paced, entertaining documentary, but it's very, very informative, and it covers the history of historical Black colleges and universities in the South and their purpose. So go ahead and check that out. Again, it's called Tell Them We Are Rising, a documentary. With that being said, if you disagree with me, if you agree with me on any of these documentaries, films, books, hit me up, Instagram, hit us up. I'm going to keep plugging that away because we got to really get more interaction with our fans. We appreciate every single one of you jumping right along. We're going to keep moving to the next segment, y'all. Professor Dean, Solo Dolo, you know what it is. Stay repopped. Yeah.
Hey, I work hard every motherfucking day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I work hard every day. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jumping right into it. This Week in Rewind.
Like Rewind Now. We're just rolling with the rhythm. Like Rewind Now.
We're going to just get right into it. We got a lot of good new tracks and albums, and music is popping right now. But Bob and Tarantino, the track I just played before this actual segment was the song called Every Day. It's by Mr. Logic, or AKA from the album Bobby Tarantino 2. The album is just fire, man. I'm a big fan of Logic's work. He went back to the old lyrical, you know, Bobby Tarantino / Logic skills, young Frank Sinatra. He really kind of just goes back into just spitting bars and bars. He actually even has a song called 44 More is the track. The songs I like were Yuck and Indica Badu featuring Wiz Khalifa. And the song we just played right now was called Every Day. And it's just something I get hyped to when I get to work or when I leave work and I come home and I work in the pod and start writing. It's kind of something I jam to. So check it out. It's called Bobby Tarantino 2 by Logic. Another great album this month that was released. I think LA and SoCal Cats have never slept on this guy. They've all been aware of his skills and what he's been doing. He's huge on the internet, huge on World Star. Nipsey Hussle, his album finally dropped this past February. Straight Fire, a whole album. I love pretty much, I think, probably 10 out of the, you know, most of the songs on the album. One of my favorite songs on there was with K-Dot or Kendrick Lamar. This song was called Dedication. It's just an on-fire track that I really enjoy listening to along with the song. And the track called Hustle and Motivate. I think that's one of his latest singles. So check that out. Nipsey Hussle, LA Cat. Brought me back to kind of the 90s. Give a shout out to my dude who definitely forwarded me a lot of his music before he got really big. So he's been grinding for years, man. The boy got skills, and we're really happy for him as far as West Coast MCs and rappers. He's doing it big. So shout out to Nipsey Hussle. And the album is called Victory Lap. He has a bunch of mixtapes out too, but check it out. Victory Lap is the album. Download that. And then there's a couple. I mean, I could keep going, but there's two albums right now that is on fire. One of the best albums out there right now, period, is called Prime, P-R-H-Y-M-E, featuring DJ Premier and Royce da 5'9". Primo and 5'9 get together, and they just, it's just straight fire. This is album number two called Prime 2. And the album is basically a collaborative effort between DJ Premier and Royce da 5'9". In this specific album, DJ Premier takes the beats from Ant-Man Wonder, the producer, samples his beats, you know, scratches over it, produces it, and then Royce comes in and just kills tracks after tracks. So check it out. They have a bunch of different folks that show up on the album as far as features and guests. So it's an amazing album. And the final album I want to recommend, I want to talk about and touch on briefly, is basically the album from Mike Shinoda. It's called Post Traumatic. It's an EP. There's about three songs on there. And it's a tribute to his bandmate and colleague, Chester Bennington from Linkin Park, who lost his life by taking his life a few months ago. So it's a very intense, you know, two or three songs that you can jump on and listen to if you're into Linkin Park or just some heavy, deep, prolific shit. And with that being said, those are our rewinds of the week. Check it out when you get a chance, but we'll keep it popping and moving. Next segment, we'll jump right into Reprise. Check out this track real quick and we'll talk about it. I want to be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We're sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life based off the common needs. And all my comrades is ready, we just spreading the seed. To have this black man live a third of his life in a jail cell. That specific track right there was called Police State from the album Let's Get Free by the hip-hop group called Dead Prez. And P-R-E-Z, Dead Prez. And so it's a great album, one of the legendary hip-hop albums from the early 2000s. And the track is a prolific track, and they talk about a lot of really intense social justice concepts and things that folks need to, you know, really kind of bring music back to. I mean, Chuck D and Public Enemy did that. Tupac did that, along with other artists like Talib Kweli and, you know, Mos Def and Common and the Lupe Fiasco. But right now we kind of need, I feel, this kind of music to also challenge and makes folks really have these conversations, the hard conversations. The lyrics from this specific song that I want to touch on and explain and define and really jump into for the Reprise is the verse where he says, I'm sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons, dying over money and relying on religion. For help we do for self like ants in the colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life is based off the common need. And all my comrades are ready. We're just spreading the seed. That was the verse from this specific track called Police State by Dead Prez. And I just feel like music like this is missing in today's market as far as on a commercial level that will really allow discussion and dialogue to happen to balance out other artists who we have nothing against. I have nothing against Drake or Migos or all these young MCs and artists. But it would be great to listen to something that balances out that radio play in the music industry so that you can have these discussions and dialogues. But with that being said, that's our Reprise of the week. Go ahead, check that track out or check that whole album out. One of the more famous tracks on the album is called It's Bigger Than Hip Hop, which was used by Dave Chappelle when he had the Dave Chappelle Show. He actually came out to that intro of It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. So check the album out. It's called Let's Get Free by Dead Prez. And with that being said, that's our reprise of the week.
We saw brilliance when the world was asleep. There are things that we can have, but can't keep.
Jumping right into our next segment, Dose of Reality. This is actually where usually Coach For Real kind of takes over. But obviously, he's still doing his thing, and he'll be out for a while, so we'll fill in for him today. Our Dose of Reality, I think we really got to touch on this.
I gotta give him something real, real.
It's about learning the five signs of emotional suffering. We raised this topic in awareness because March 20th was just the birthday of Chester Bennington, the lead singer for Linkin Park, who took his life a few months ago. His wife, Talinda Bennington, along with Mike Shinoda and his bandmates, really just came together to spearhead and support the awareness of the five signs of emotional suffering, to really help people understand that mental health awareness is so very, very, very important. It affects over 43 million Americans, and we're not talking about the globe either. So go check out that website. It's called www.changeofdirection.org, changeofdirection.org. The five signs for emotional suffering are personality change, agitation, withdrawal, poor self-care, and hopelessness. So I thought it'd be important for y'all to know those five signs. Again, it's personality change, agitation, withdrawal, poor self-care, and hopelessness. Those are the five signs of emotional suffering. And this topic, the dose of reality, is important because we have to wake up to the fact that a lot of our loved ones, sometimes even ourselves, may be going through a lot of emotional trauma and need support. And we need to be aware of those things. Mental health issues are everyone's issue. And so we have to make sure we can be supportive in those moments and identifying these things. And so I encourage you to really, really look into that. And that's our dose of reality. I know it's very, very deep, but part of the Stay Free podcast is that we're talking about relationships and all aspects of our lives. And mental health is a relationship with ourselves that we need to be real about. We also need to be real about educating ourselves on mental health and not being shy to have those discussions and not being afraid or embarrassed to really have these deep and sincere conversations and be a support network for your peers and your loved ones. So, with that being said, that's our Dose of Reality of the week. Again, the website, changeofdirection.org. If you scroll down our description on our podcast, you'll find that website and web link as well. So with that being said, that's our Dose of Reality of the week. I think Coach For Real would actually have been proud of us for discussing this topic. If you want to, again, talk more about it, please hit me up on our social media websites. We'll keep this topic and conversation going. In my profession, I got to stay true to my craft and I had to address this issue. So, you know, Mental Health Awareness Month is in May, but we're a little bit ahead of time, but we wanted to touch on that. Can't stop, won't stop. You know what I mean? We got to keep fighting the good fight. So with that being said, that's our Dose of Reality week, y'all. So our action reaction of the week, jumping right into it. Action, reaction. Honestly, I just wanted to do a whole pod just on this. March Madness, We always talk about how they exploit college athletes, but we're not going to get that deep today about that. We're just going to talk about March Madness. It is March. My Final Four original picks for the Final Four tournament, believe it or not, were these four teams. And check out how good I was at picking my teams, because I really, really know college basketball. Check it out. Yo, I had Michigan State, Virginia, and Gonzaga in the Final Four with Villanova. Out of the four teams I picked, one is left standing to make the Final Four as of today. Check this out. I had Gonzaga beating Villanova in the finals. And I was wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong about all those things. As of today, the Final Four, you have Loyola Chicago, the number 11 seed, representing and making it to the Final Four, which has been unbelievable for the city of Chicago. Unbelievable story as an underdog, Cinderella, etc. And we have Michigan, Villanova. That's my one pick I got right. And we got Kansas. So just from what I know of these teams and know of basketball from Beeline, going down the line of the coaching tree and the people that coach each one of these teams and understanding what they run, the schemes, the zones, the zone presses, the man-to-zone press, the zone-to-man press, the different tempos that they run. I really like Loyola Chicago against Michigan. I like Nova to beat Kansas. I think Jay Wright will have his team ready. And they're just the most talented team out of everybody. Villanova is. They're deep. They have talent. They can shoot the outside shot. They can defend. They have bigs. They can rebound. I think Kansas is really good, but I don't know if Kansas is deep enough on the bench to beat Villanova. Between that, those two powerhouse blue chip programs. But as far as Loyola versus Michigan, my heart says Loyola Chicago. My head says Michigan. In this case, for my pick, since I've been so wrong anyways, I'm going to go with Loyola Chicago, because I know Michigan has bigs that can shoot and stretch the floor. Beeline always does a good job. Coach Beeline from Michigan always does a good job of scheming and running offenses and defenses that are to his advantage and creates trouble for the other teams. But what I love about Loyola Chicago is they control the tempo. And if you don't know what tempo means and you're listening to this podcast, that means basically they dictate how they run the offense and they defend their ass off. If you watch the game, the Elite Eight game against Kansas State, they contested every shot almost in the 5-on-5 situation in the half court. And what they do is they defend 5-on-5 and then they get out and run their sets, meaning their offensive plays. And the ball moves like the Warriors from one side of the court to the other side of the court. And they get it to the shooters and they get it to their matchup issues and matchup problems. I do believe Loyola Chicago will win this game. At least that's my pick. But ultimately, it all comes down to who can create the foul troubles first for the other team. If you're not into sports or basketball, this is a lot of details that some of you guys could go ahead and skip forward. But this is where coaching comes in to play. And Jay Wright is one of the masters at, you know, running different full court to half court sets of defensive schemes, throwing people off, changing the scheme and the tempo. So I believe they will ultimately win the national championship. Villanova will win it all this year. They just won it all 2 years ago. So it'll be pretty amazing. But Jay Wright has been consistent and he's worked hard over the years. He's not an overnight coach of success. He's worked hard and chipped away at it and waited patiently while Coach K, Patino, Izzo from Michigan State, Coach Self from Kansas, Coach Roy Williams, North Carolina, all these coaches that, you know, are blue chip programs, obviously Calipari in Kentucky, continue to win, and he chipped away at it, and he's not an overnight success, so I think they will win again this year, 2018, the NCAA Final Four March Madness going into April. So with that being said, those are my predictions and my pick. And if you disagree with me, again, you hit me up and you let me know if I'm right or wrong, because I believe I will be right, and I believe Loyola Chicago will get Michigan to foul trouble and ultimately sneak out a win, but then lose in the final. With that all being said, that's our action reaction of the week. Pay these young men who bring in over millions and millions and millions of dollars. As far as on the women's side, the women's basketball, we know UConn's going to win it all. University of Connecticut, powerhouse, dominant, Coach Gino, they're going to dominate. They're going to win it all. It's not that climactically exciting to watch women's basketball right now because UConn is just so dominant. Last year was amazing to watch Coach Vic Schaefer, who is an amazing coach at at Mississippi State, and his team upset UConn. That's what made it exciting. Then we all dialed in and watched the Final Four because of that, right? So we like the Cinderellas. We like the David versus Goliath, you know, underdog story that will allow us to really sit down and watch, you know, games. So women's basketball is great, and I love it, and I coach it, and I support it. But it's been really tough because UConn just dominates and whoops everybody's ass through and through, year in, year out. And so I don't see anybody beating them this year. I'm rooting for Mississippi State ultimately to win, but I don't know if that's going to happen. So with that being said, that's our action reaction of the week, y'all. All right, y'all, it's about 3:30 in the morning. And we're going to finish this last State of Reed main course of conversation. State of Reed main course of conversations, state of relationship topic. And it's about America and United States of America and our love of our guns. Our relationship with our love of guns is something that needs to be really examined. So my personal take is that no, guns should not be allowed in schools or at airports, where reportedly that's where they want to take this as well. Personally, as somebody who grew up in a military family, grew up around guns, it's almost normalized. This is an actual fact. 28 states have no minimum age requirement for owning a rifle. According to the Jeffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence, which track gun laws, 4 states set the minimum age for owning a rifle or a shotgun at the age of 14 and 16 years old. Florida requires residents to be 18 to own a long gun, which is where the Parkland shooting took place. Now, here's the kicker, right? You can buy an AR-15 at 18 in most places, in most states. It's harder to buy an actual handgun, which is requirement, the age requirement is at 21. So these issues of just constant contradiction and inconsistency is what I really have issues with. Again, as somebody who grew up in a household where guns were literally in front of us and it was never an issue, I don't support the fact that there's so many inconsistencies in the gun rules, in the gun laws, and how we allow our youth and young people to have access to weapons. Now, what I always, you know, process and think about is the simple fact of how hard it is to get a license, or how hard is it to get a passport. The lawmakers on a federal level has to have some kind of consistency, and there has to be a filter system about who has weapons, how old are they, and what are their backgrounds. So there has to be some kind of checks and balances, and there has to be accountability. At the end of the day, there has to be accountability. Alcohol, marijuana, cigarettes, all have age requirements. All are very, for the most part, consistent, specifically alcohol, So in a way, we have to be able to examine those things and have real hard conversations. So that's my perspective. With that being said, the March for Your Lives protest and rally was legendary, necessary, and amazing. They awakened. It's not past tense, it is present tense. And they're dialed in and engaged, and they're our future. So all those youth who participated around the country for the March of Our Lives rally and protests, continue the good fight. And finally, we'll just close it off with this, something to rethink. If a teenager with a phone is considered a narcissist or has self-image issues, what is a teenager with a gun considered? Psychologically, what's going through their head? Our relationships in America with our guns is something that we need to really process, as we are so critical of young folks when they are playing too much video games, or they're on their phones too much, or they're partying too much. But then there's no questions about youth who want to buy semi-automatic rifles or carry handguns. We know it's an issue. Let's really rethink this process through and examine that relationship. I know this has been really heavy, but folks cannot just be woke, but stay awakened. With that being said, at 4 o'clock in the morning, this is the State of Re podcast. You're rocking with Professor Dean. I know it's been a really deep and heavy load of topics and issues on these segments, but I had to get all these off my chest. State of Re podcast. Whether you agree or don't agree, however you feel, hit me up on all our social media links, and we can go from there, man. We can have dialogue and discussion, and continue to support this podcast. We appreciate all those that listen. We appreciate every single one of you that take the time to lend us your ears. That means the world to me. It means the world to Coach For Real. And we'll continue to keep this going for you guys. Anything you need, anything you feel you need to get off your chest, forward it to me. Let's keep the conversations going. This is State of Re podcast. And we thank you for listening to us. Signing off at early dawn on this March evening. We out. This is Professor Dean, one time for your mind, one time. Play. Deuces. Sir. And remember, everybody, yeah, we are relationships, yeah, and who we invest in. Kayla's in the building. Yeah. All right, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever